As we enter this Advent season, I have a question for you this morning. Do you have anyone in your life that you can rely on 100%? The word is golden. They say they're going to pick you up at 3 o'clock. They come 3 minutes early. Whatever they say, they mean what they say, and you can rely on them 100%. Do you have anybody in mind that you can think of? If you can't think of anybody, you might want to get a dog. As we enter this Advent season, we are reminded that God keeps his word, and we see it in the past. We also see it in the present, and we believe and we hope that it will happen in the future. In today's Old Testament lesson, the prophet is prophesying that the righteous branch will come to the people of Israel. God kept his word. It was made flesh, Jesus Christ. We also know that when the disciples were perplexed and they were talking about the temple in Jerusalem and the end of the ages, Jesus said, "Not one stone will be on top of another. All of this will be destroyed." And they wanted to know when it would happen. And it did happen in 70 AD, the destruction of Jerusalem. God keeps his word. He's faithful to his word. So as he has kept his word in the past, we know that he will come at that final advent. We can be with great confidence about this. So what type of people should we be? We should be Advent people. Not just during these 4 weeks preparing for Christmas, but throughout our whole journey, our whole life. So what does it mean to be an Advent person? Number one, it means to be watchful. Number two, it means to be joyful. And number three, it means to be prayerful. Being watchful. The disciples were asking Jesus, "When will all of this take place?" And he said to them that not one stone will be left on top of another. And what he was predicting was something that would happen in their lifetime. Jesus would be crucified around 33, and then within a few short years, 70 AD, Titus would come in and destroy all of the temple, all of Jerusalem, and there would be a great separation. And the separation would be this: those who listened, those who trusted in that word, they escaped. They got out of Jerusalem. They fled to the mountains. The Christians, and even some of the Jews, believe it or not, that listened and followed and escaped the judgment that happened in 70 AD. And those who did not listen, those who were caught up with the cares of this life, who didn't listen to the prophecy, were destroyed. And it was a terrible destruction. The day of the Lord is like that. In fact, when Jesus is talking about the end of the ages, he's talking in one breath about the destruction of Jerusalem, which already happened, but in the same breath, he's talking about his second coming, which has not happened. It's something we look forward to. We have other examples in the scriptures, like the days of Noah. We all know the story. Noah was given a word from God, a sure and certain word of God that he trusted, but very few people trusted. In fact, only 8 people in all of the world trusted this word. 8 people were saved via the flood through Moses, through Noah, and the rest of the people were destroyed. And that's a sign for us that so it will be in the time of the second advent, when Christ comes again. There will be a great separation, just as there was in 70 AD at the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. So was it when Noah preached his message of righteousness and peace. There were some that were saved, and there were some that were destroyed. So the message this morning is to be watchful, to be aware of that, so that we recognize the way of escape is through Jesus Christ. This morning, as I came into church, there was a tiny little sparrow, I believe, a tiny little bird caught in the kitchen. And the bird was flying around trying to find its way of escape. I looked around, pastor looked around, we didn't really see any way of the bird. We were thinking, how did he get in? But most of all, how is this bird going to get out? Then someone, a Saint Francis, opened up a little fan and the bird flew away and the bird went to safety. And I thought about that as a metaphor, because I was thinking about it this morning. There needs to be a story for the sermon, and lo and behold, there's the story. If we look for the way of escape, which is through Jesus Christ, we will be saved. But we must be watchful. In today's gospel, Jesus is giving them a metaphor. It's not about a bird, it's not about a kitchen, but it's about a tree. He says, look at the signs. He says, when the leaves come on the fig tree, you know that it's summer. So when you see these things beginning to happen, you know that the time is near. Now, I am convinced that he was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, because he simply said, this generation will not pass until all of these things happen. But it's a metaphor. The destruction of Jerusalem is a metaphor, a type of the destruction of the world. We hear of rumors of wars. We hear of crazy things that are going on in our world with nations and uprising and political conflict. These have been going on for years and millenniums. Even Martin Luther in his day actually thought that the second coming was right around the corner. I don't know. I have no idea. No man knows this. But what we do know is that we are getting closer and closer to that time of redemption. Whether it be our passing from this life into the next one, where we meet our Lord, or whether it be the second coming, we must be watchful. We must be aware, not caught up in the things of this world, not caught up in sin, not caught up in the craziness of what goes on in this world, and perceive the signs of the time. Number one, be watchful. Number two, be joyful. There was a time in the church year, the first millennium, that Advent was really a little Lent. For the first couple decades, Lent and Advent were very similar. In fact, Advent was a time of fasting, of doing penance, and it was 5 weeks, 5 weeks. And really, it was a preparation for Christmas, just like Lent is what? A preparation for Easter. And it wasn't until the 10th century that the 5 weeks of Advent was shortened to 4 weeks. And then we can thank Pope Gregory the Great in the 11th century by taking a lot of the fasting and the penitential aspects of the season away and focused on the theme of hope and joy. Some churches, they use purple. Some churches obviously use blue to separate the seasons of Lent and Advent, because it's really a joyful season. The second Advent, the second coming of Christ, is not a day of dread for Christians. Those who are prepared, those who are watchful, those who trust God's word, the day of the Lord, the second coming, the final Advent, is a great day of joy because our salvation is nearer. Just like the people in 70 AD, when they saw the signs and they fled, they literally fled to the mountains, some even as far as Tiberias near the Sea of Galilee, they were saved. It was a day of great joy, almost like when Lot, you know, looked back. It was terrible for that situation, but to those people who kept on moving forward, there was deliverance and there was salvation. So the second coming is really a day of joy and of great hope for the Christian. It's not a day of dread. Advent really isn't a time of penitential fasting. It's a time of rejoicing. In fact, we have a pink candle around the Advent wreath that reminds us of Rejoice Sunday, when we get closer and closer to the celebration of the Incarnation on Christmas morn. And then lastly, we should be a people who are full of prayer. We should pray. In today's gospel, Jesus says, pray that these things don't overtake you, so that you might stand when the Lord comes back, so that you might escape and be able to stand before the Lord. What he's saying to us is to always be watchful, always be joyful for his coming, and to be in a spirit of prayer, prayer of anticipating his second coming, so that we might participate in the second coming to our salvation. As we begin this new Advent season, as we begin this first Sunday in Advent, it's a reminder that Advent is not just a season, it's an event. It's an event that happened in the past, as the prophet foretold. And as God kept his word, he came into the flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary and suffered and died for us. That has already been fulfilled. He also predicted that the armies of Titus and the Gentile nations would surround Jerusalem and would destroy everything. And he did, and his word came true. And he also promised that he will also come again in glory at the last day. My dear brothers and sisters, if he has kept his word in the past, and if we can truly rely on him, we certainly know that he will come again in glory. So what type of people must we be? We must be watchful, we must be full of joy, and we must be prayerful to look forward to that day. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.